from tonight, ladies and gentlemen, it's all on the line. Ric Flair, Lex Luger, first time ever in a cage for the world title, and the Horsemen are indeed at full strength. Watch out, Sting and RoboCop.
Jim Ross, people, you're about to find out that the manhunt is over.
What she is saying to the wrestling world is, now we have the ace, the trump card, so that next Saturday night, not only am I going to beat Lex Luger in the cage, not only is he going to bleed from coast to coast, he is going to be the most embarrassed athlete alive, because when you get beat in the cage, it's all over. Tell him, Rock.
Come on in here. Just when everybody thought it couldn't get any better, take a look. This is going to be the addition, the brand new addition. Now we are at full strength. And if anybody has any doubt about what the Horsemen can do, take a look at the man that's going to take care of RoboCop.
RoboCop, I'm 6'9", 320 pounds. I am the real Man of Steel in the NWA, and you better learn to like it.
What an addition. It's full strength. Six. I don't want to be around this. 6'9".
Can you believe it? Flair takes Luger. The Horseman takes Sting. And the Bucket of Bolts goes to Sid Vicious. Tell him about it, Barry.
We have amassed the true powers of professional wrestling right here. And with the big man on our side, we can't lose. Luger, Sting, it's the end. You may as well give up, because from now on, we dominate professional wrestling. Jim Ross, in my own articulate way, I'm going to spell it out for the entire world. If you think we're playing stack the deck in Washington, D.C., the most violent city in the country, where murder runs rampant, we're bringing the violence to Washington, my friend. If you think R2-D2 and Sting on one leg and Luger can buck these odds, you are out of your noodle. Tell them
they say one thing to Ted Turner and to everybody out there. I don't care if you're 5 years old or 50 years old. This guy is 6'10". He weighs 350 pounds. He's going to eliminate RoboCop and Sting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're going to break your leg again. Think about that, Sting. When you walk that aisle, we're going to break your leg again.
Can't go.
Hey, this is Claudio Castagnoli, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Your shows, your entertainment, and your network. This is Rant ENE.
Remember, what this network wants, this network gets. I promise you that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Broadcasting live from Shaolin, Staten Island.
Freak Show Central.
Where's that?
New York City.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast on Rant EM Radio. Proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Oh,
Damn right she did. Episode 479 of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast on a beautiful Mother's Day here on beautiful Shaolin, Staten Island, New York City. I, as always, your gracious host, the Messiah of yesteryear, the Yoda of memories, the intellectual retrosexual, the impact player, Mr. Philly Raya, and happy Mother's Day to all your moms out there, all your stepmoms, all your moms who have to be dads too. My mom was that mom. My mom had to be my dad for almost her entire tenure as a mom. So, Mom, I love you. I talk to you every day. So, no, she knows how much I love her. So, anyway, yeah. So, listen, if you're a mom and you're a wrestling fan, enjoy it. If you're not a mom and you lost your mom, I understand. I lost my dad, so in about a month, I'll be sad, just as sad as you are right now today. But just take solace in the fact that your mom gave you life, brought you into this world, and she's probably real proud of what you're doing right now if you're a good soul. So take solace in that and always be the right person for the right reasons. And I don't know how else to say that without getting too emotional. This is a wrestling podcast. I have not done one in a very, very long time, and I'm not even going to apologize about it. I have been just what's the word I want to use? I don't want to use a mess because I'm not really a mess. I'm just like mentally not into setting up and talking and writing stuff down and taking notes. And, you know, it's been a struggle since my boys aren't with me anymore. And I honestly, it's taken a toll on me. And I made a promise to myself and the people who still listen to this thing that I wasn't going to give it up. And I'm not. And not that I have to explain myself every time I do this now, but, you know, it just, for me, my priority isn't this anymore, and I'm sad about it. I'm kind of sad, and I'm kind of happy at the same time, and I'll tell you why. I'm sad because I don't do this normally, right? I'm also happy because I'm not tied down to it either. You know, and nothing, like, my life isn't really that busy where I have to not commit to it either, but, you know, it is what it is. So now I have to be inspired, and I was really, really inspired the last 2 weeks. I've had some fun watching wrestling, and I must tell you, if this is any indication of the next couple of weeks to come and leading right into summer and then SummerSlam, I mean, you know, these things come quickly as you get older, man. Like, you blink and it's almost summertime already. Like, we're halfway into the spring, and we just started getting nice weather here in New York City, so it's like, within a month, we're going to be into summer already. So it's like, it's, you know, again, like I always say, it's that kind of party, right? So, right, so it's Mother's Day. I'm not seeing my mom today. I want to see her, but she has other plans. And she's like, listen, I'm going to a show tonight with my husband. I'm like, you know what? You do you, playa. You do you. Mom was a big wrestling fan. She still is. I still catch her watching Raw once in a while when I call her on Mondays, but she has no clue what's going on. She loves The Miz, I know that. She loves The Miz and Maurice. She watches the reality show. She loves that. So she keeps tabs on WWE through The Miz. So, and Miz is a pretty good ambassador for the brand. So good for him and good for them. I'm just not into it. But, you know, my mom's a Ricky Steamboat mark. She always was, you know. So we every once in a while she says, "Oh, my steamboat," she says, "my steamboat." You know, like he left. You know, he really didn't leave. He actually fought his last match late last year, I believe. So, you know, what are you gonna do? Okay. So what else is going on? Do I have anything else cool to talk about? I don't even that's been going on in my life? No, not really. I started reading comics again, like, but not buying them really, just picking up on stories and stuff like that. I started reading some Green Lantern that came out about a decade ago. That 52 storyline, whatever, I'm reading that. I picked up the first graphic, and that was fun. And then Kree Comic Book Day was last week, so Hammer and I made our yearly pilgrimage to JHU out in New Dorp. Shout out to JHU. Those guys are always taking care of us out there. And they have the sale. You buy two graphs, you get one free. So Hammer got himself some good storylines. He got himself... what did he get? I know I got the first run of Swamp Thing on graphic, which I'm really... I love Alan Moore. I'm not really a horror genre kind of dude, but I like Alan Moore. And I like his that was like the first that and Frank who wrote Dark Knight? Was that Frank Williams? Was it Frank Williams? Is that his name? The Dark Knight Returns and Swamp Thing were the first two like creepy, like, oh my god, this is kind of scary type of shit reading when I was really a young kid, like between 12 and like 15. So, but what did Hammer get? Hammer got some kind of, I think a Spider-Man graph and something else that we something good. I tell him like take advantage of these things and read like important stories. So when these movies come out that Marvel puts out or DC puts out, he's got an idea of what's going on. And we'll talk about DC in a minute because Warner Brothers, if we're right, is about to do some crazy shit in about, I don't know, 3 or 4 days from now. So we'll get into that in a few minutes. What else is going on? I wrote down the wrestling stuff, but I really didn't write down anything else that was going on in my life because I really have nothing, a lot going on, really. I'm working on projects for my Stratomatic leagues for myself, and I got a couple baseball projects I'm working on. I'm going to roll out and play. I got a hockey one that I started last year. I never fucking finished it. So I'm going to revamp it in the summer and start it up again. When I was a kid, I played a lot of DC Heroes, which is like Dungeons and Dragons, except it's like superhero type shit. So I reached out to some of my old friends who I played with, who started me on this, and we're going to play an actual a weekend of gaming. We're gonna do it in July, and we're all old now, so it's like just to see old friends again. You know, I live about 30 miles away from where I grew up, and since I've been out here, my sister's moved further east. My mom's still in the neighborhood where I grew up, not too far, but all my friends have like moved away or has had children and moved on, and like some of them had tragic loss in their lives, and it's like it's been a rough fucking couple of years. So I knew I was going to be available that weekend, surprise surprise, right? So I took it upon myself to reach out to my boys and girls and be like, yo man, what's up, let's play. And two of them are very committed, so I'm writing a lot of stories. And between writing stories and watching wrestling, I was like, you know what? I got the bug again to do Turnbuckle Throwback. So this is it. This is where we are. And this is why you have episode 479 on Mother's Day. I was going to record it on Friday, but I got into like, I got a giant Amazon delivery, which kind of got me into taking my kitchen apart and putting some new storage stuff up for my appliances and cleaning up the kitchen and all that. You know, I have one bedroom, so it's like everything's in one space, and when I clutter it, I have to declutter it and make it nicey nice again, you know. So I did that, and by the time I was done, I was exhausted. So by the time I did that, I was in the shower, on the couch, and like an hour into like SmackDown and ordering dinner, I was like, I'm done. And then yesterday, I went out, ran some errands, came back, and I was like, I passed out on the couch. I was like, okay, here we go. Passed out, woke up, had dinner, and then I poured myself a couple of cocktails, and I was like, you know what? There's no way I'm doing typical throwbacks on a lot of cranberry and vodka on ice, you know what I'm saying? So here we are. Here we are on this beautiful Sunday. And we're going to have a good time. And I have a cool throwback that I'm revisiting that we did a bunch of years ago. But I was inspired by a Facebook page, and I'll get into that again after the break. We'll talk some wrestling. Let me get my notes over here because we got some notes. Oh, I want to give a shout-out to Motspock. Our boy Motspock. You know Motspock. He does the ROH podcast with our boy Will. And he sent me a book, and it's a Bruce Lee book. And, you know, he knows I struggle with mental illness a lot. And he gave me a book called Striking Thoughts, Bruce Lee's Wisdom for Daily Living. And he's passed this book on to other people. And I kept telling him, like, he goes, I'll send you one. I'm like, dude, don't worry about it. And he's like, you know, and he like talked me. And he's like, it's the least I can do, da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, I thought he was going to send me like a used copy of like the one he had. He sent me a new one from Amazon. So, Tom, I love you, and thank you very much for looking out for me. It's always appreciated that you do this for me. And that's another goal of mine. I'm gonna like have to get some more positivity into my everyday life. You know, I'm not a totally positive PMA type guy. I do have a lot of PMA. I just fall apart a lot, and every little help I can get, whether it's therapy or medicine or now this book, I'm gonna take advantage of it. So shout out to Mott. And, you know, shout out to, I'm taking better care of myself. I bought some new supplements. I bought a water jug for work. I'm going to drink about a gallon of water at work a day now. So at least 4 days a week, I'll have a gallon of water, and I want to get some more fiber in my diet. And I'm going to be 50 next year, guys. So I have to take care of myself. And when I lost my routine, not being married anymore and stuff like that, I kind of, like, not let myself go per se, but I kind of, like, not took care of myself the way I wanted to. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to try anyway. I don't want to commit to be like, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, because it's like a New Year's resolution. You start it for 4 or 5 days, and then that's it. You're done. So I'm not going to do that. So, but like I said, I've been watching a lot of wrestling, and you know what I've been watching since before Mania is those A&E Sunday night gimmicks on for A&E TV. They do like the A&E Sundays, which was like the Legends documentaries, and they've done the Hidden Treasures, where they send old superstars out to find, like, you know, all the props and gimmicks for all the wrestlers that passed on for WWE. They put them on display for the fans at the big events. Like, they send these people to, like people's houses, and be like, hey, man, you have so-and-so. One guy had, Dave Milliken, Ace of Belts, former guest of Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Dave had Stone Cold Steve Austin's knee brace, the popular one that he wore, that he started wearing when his knees were giving out. And, you know, and one guy had Macho Man's crown, or Booker T's robe, or Mankind's fucking mask, and, you know, all these guys, and so now they have Lita, Booker T, and Mick Foley going through the country. It's like the second season, the third season of it. I love it. The Legends thing was great. Dusty was great. The Sheik I mentioned was really good. You know, Macho Man's was good. A lot of them were good. The Rivals, oh my goodness, the Rivals. Hogan and Piper, and I just, all those Rivals were so good, man. John Cena and The Rock was pretty good. I mean, it's not hard-hitting, like, information. It's not, like, in-depth where you didn't know half the shit or a third of it anyway. It's a lot of it is fluff. But on a Sunday night, when your sports teams suck and they're out of it and you have nothing to watch, that just softens the blow, man, to start your week off. So if you haven't had a chance and you're waiting on Dark Side of the Ring, which comes out at the end of the month, I'm excited for that as well. We'll get into that on my next couple episodes. But if you know, that's cool. You know, it really is cool. And A&E, they did a really good job of showcasing WWE. So I saw Backlash last week. I want to give a shout out to Puerto Rico, the shining star of the Caribbean. I have a lot of Boricua friends in New York City, a lot of proud Puerto Ricans, a lot of wrestling fans. Uptown Georgie is one of our biggest supporters. He's a huge fan from the island. We talk about Puerto Rico and Puerto Rican wrestling in particular. It has a really nostalgic place in the genre. I know at one point Gorilla Monsoon had a part of the territory down there. Obviously, it's legendary. It's legendary for good and bad things, with Bruiser Brody being killed. I think this summer is 25 years, 88, 98, 2008. 2018, 19, 21, 23. It's 25 years this year. So that might be topics for the anniversary show in July. So, yeah, Bruiser Brody got stabbed 25 years ago. 35 years ago, I'm sorry, this year in Puerto Rico. But Puerto Rico has Carlos Colon's territory, Victor Quiñones, superstars came out of there, like legends. And every legend in the game has been down there through there to fight, and they're passionate. They're passionate fans. And you would think in this day and age, entertainment's taking a turn, you know, and it's got, and this Bad Bunny guy, he's a Spanish singing Grammy winning performer who's a huge fan. He's a huge fanboy. He went to the center to train, and he's been in a couple of matches already, and he fought again last week, and he killed it. He absolutely killed it. And it was the crowd was electric. Selena Vega, Queens native, by way of Puerto Rico, she had a match with Rhea Ripley. Did not win. We knew she wasn't going to win. But the emotion of the fans, 17,000 plus in this arena. They packed it for SmackDown and for the pay-per-view. And I'm telling you, the crowd was electric. The crowd will get me into a show. Even when the show is bad, if the fans are into it, you have that emotion. Because if you've been in a hot crowd, and I've been in many hot crowds, whether it's in Philadelphia for ECW, of course in Madison Square Garden for Mania, Madison Square Garden for a house show, Madison Square Garden for anything, the old Meadowlands, Brendan Byrne Arena for SummerSlam I was at, the Nassau Coliseum, any big hot wrestling crowd, Boston, I was in Boston for a wrestling match at the Garden. Wasn't as electric as yellow, but you get that feeling. Puerto Rico comes correct. And it was nothing short of brilliant. It was fantastic. I enjoyed it. And like I said, the real winners that night were the crowd, because they was so behind the performers. And Bad Bunny's entrance, a little long in the tooth, but again, legendary now at this point. Then, you know, he's getting the action figure. He's getting kudos from the industry. From top performers are giving him kudos. Like, you know, it's easy to put a celebrity over, right, in these kind of matches. I know Piper didn't like doing it, but he did. You know, a lot of wrestlers don't like to have the outsiders come in and do their thing either, because it takes away their spot. They feel like it gets their spot taken away from them. But, you know, in hindsight, but in the last decade or even 20 years at this point, wrestlers have done a really good job of putting the celebrities over, whether it's that Johnny Knoxville or with Big Show and what's his face, the boxer, Mayweather. You know, like that kind of shit. You know, Bam Bam Bigelow, Lawrence Taylor, I go back to that. I hated that match because I love Bam Bam so much. But I got older, I understood why. So, you know, it's, for me, it's I don't like it, but I've learned to accept it. And now I'm the more that these guys get more talented, the more I appreciate it. So I want to give Bad Bunny his prop before anybody says, oh, you know, you're hard on the celebrities. Like, you always have been. I am hard on the celebrities because I feel like it takes a spot away from another performer on that card who can showcase their stuff and be productive, right? So that being said, you know, it didn't. You know, and now with the way WWE structured, with the two brands and NXT, they did the draft recently. They split everybody up again. They're bringing people up from NXT. You know, they're mixing it up. And there's enough talent now to go around. When I was younger, there wasn't a lot of talent that was being showcased. You know, you had your low level guys, your curtain jerkers, your mid card kids, and then you had the main eventers, and it was stagnant for a very, 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 very long time. And not until the 90s, till they started broadened the spectrum in terms of the rosters. You know, sometimes, you know, now these, I mean, look at AEW, and we'll get into them in a few minutes, but they got they have now three shows, and it's going to be, not counting YouTube and all that shit, but they have 60 to 80 people on the roster. It's like, okay, now what are you going to do with all these fucking guys? Okay, great, you got Ring of Honor, but what are you going to do? WWE now has that problem with these guys too. It's like, you know, people forget when you're off TV. You forget when you're off TV. It's not nobody's fault, but if you're watching episodic shows and your guy or girl isn't on TV for a certain amount of while, and something else becomes hot, it's like, oh, where's so-and-so? And then when they come back, it goes, oh, I forgot about them. Oh, look at that. You know, either they were injured or they were written off TV or both. You know, it becomes a thing. But, you know, now, but more than ever, when you take a spot away from somebody, you need to fill it right. And that's what they've been doing. So they took the one title away from Roman. They're putting it up in a tournament. And they're Roman had his first appearance since Mania last night on SmackDown. And he smacked one of his cousins in the face. So you can see the Usos now. There's a wedge now between the Usos and Roman and Solo Sikoa, which I'm a little disappointed in the storyline. Like, a little bit. Like, how is Solo hanging out with his cousin and not backing his blood brothers? You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand Roman's their first cousin. He grew up together, whatever. But, like, that sucks that they're going to split the Usos up. Or, I mean, Jimmy got the smack in the face, but don't be surprised if Jimmy turns on Jay and Jay goes solo for the title or vice versa. So that's going to happen. Tournament is going to be in Saudi Arabia, Night of Champions, in a couple of weeks. It's going to be, I believe, AJ and Seth. I knew Seth Rollins was going to win the title. He has been absolutely killing it. He beat Omos in Puerto Rico. That was a good match, considering he had to fight Omos. My son disagrees with me, but then again, his crew is like, they root for people for different reasons, so I don't understand why anybody can root for that guy. He's got a nice look to him, but he's not. We talked about the big man saga. Like, there's been big men since Andre, of course. Andre is the greatest big man of all time, all right? You had Baba, you had Stud, you had Kevin Nash, you had Big John Studd, you had Elegante or Giant Gonzalez, whatever the fuck you want to call him. And of course, you have Paul White, right? And there's a few others that I'm probably missing, but the difference between those guys and Andre and Omos, I have to put Omos in that crew too. The difference between these 7-foot guys and Andre is Andre looked like a giant because of his disease they didn't fix. And because of his facial features and the size of him, he looked like a giant. He looked like something out of a Dungeons and Dragons book. He looked like something out of a monster movie. He was big and scary that even $6 Million Man TV show put a Sasquatch costume on him and he was convincing, right? The other guys are just big guys. They're not deformed. They're not scary looking. They're formidable because they're big and strong, but they're not true giants. So when these 7-foot guys come in, the only thing that gets me by is, well, the David and Goliath thing. David and Goliath. I keep saying David and Goliath. Well, all you Catholic school kids know what David and Goliath is. David and Goliath. I keep saying Davy because that was a popular TV show when I was a kid and I was in parochial school. But it's the David and Goliath storyline. I always liked that, right? And Paul White, Big Show, was the closest thing to a true giant next to Andre. They even billed him as Andre's son at one point, if you remember that, right? But I just don't think that for me anyway, it's a big difference. Andre was a true giant. Those guys are just big dudes. It's like when you watch basketball, like that 7-foot guy, he's just a 7-foot guy. I'm not saying he's not athletic, because a lot of 7-foot guys are. There was a guy played for Dallas Mavericks for a bunch of years. He's a Hall of Famer now, I believe, Dirk Nowitzki, a German guy, right? He was a 7-foot guy, just a regular, good-looking, handsome dude, blonde hair, blue-eyed German kid, when he came out of school or whatever, and he was lights out. He could shoot. When I was a kid, a lot of 7-footers didn't really shoot. They blocked, and they played defense. The guys who were the exception became, guys like, Patrick and Kareem, Patrick Ewing, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Shaquille O'Neal. Those guys became, like, everything. But the 7-footers when I was a little kid would just block shots, shot blockers, whatever, right? They're just big guys. They weren't nothing don't ask my dad about Patrick Ewing, but he calls him the missing link and not the one, and not Dewey Robinson either. But they were those big guys. They're not giants. Andre was a giant. Okay. So it was nice. So Seth Rollins has been nothing but brilliant, lights out. So he'll probably be champion by Night of Champions, right? And I haven't been watching Raw. I know the Cody Brock thing has picked up. They need something to do with Cody because they're not giving him the title right away, apparently. I guess the thing is to have him go after Seth Rollins as I sip my coffee. You know, if that's what you're going to do, another, you know, not really a mismatch, but they need something for Cody to do. They need something for Brock to do. And I'm glad Brock is still in the fold, so to speak. It makes things interesting. Nothing else on, besides the Bloodline, nothing else besides that. And Seth, nothing really is catching my eye on WWE programming. But the Night of Champions are going to have a tag title match with Solo and Roman Reigns against Sammy and KO, which is interesting. They're going to give all the belts to Roman Reigns? it could happen. I would hate to see KO and Sammy lose them right away. I think it's like they've only defended the belts. I don't even know if they defended the belts yet on TV. I'm not even sure. But if that's their first defense and they lose it, shame on the writers for taking the belts off the Usos, who've had them for like ever, you know. I still want to see what they're going to do with Gunther as the IC champ. I think he's fantastic. Theory is U.S. champion. I like him. So all the champions right now are good, like good, solid performers. So they just need to write good stories for these guys and girls, like seriously, you know. Rhea Ripley beating Charlotte, get Charlotte off TV, let her heal, but you could push other girls, you know. You know, they gave us Selena because it was Puerto Rico, but you have Bayley, you have Io Sky, you have Becky Lynch, the man. You have all these girls that can go, you know. Liv Morgan and what's her face, the Mexican, they're tag team champions, but they'll split them up eventually, right? Do another David and Goliath thing, that chick is big. Well, Raquel, yeah, Puerto Rican China, Choppy used to call her, Raquel Gonzalez, so... But you have all these gimmicks, man, like all these things to do. Like you have stuff in place. If they write it properly, it's a win-win-win-win-win, right? If they don't, it's stagnant and it's not making me watch and go out of my way. Especially on a Monday night when I'm home from work. I get home from work an hour into Raw, right? So with baseball going on, hockey and basketball playoffs going on, I don't watch a lot of wrestling on during the week. I don't. You know, I have to watch it on a replay because, especially hockey playoffs, all my teams are done. But now they're coming down to the finals, and next month will be all the championship. So after June, maybe I'll try to commit more time to Raw on a Monday night and AEW on Wednesday nights. SmackDown only gets my full attention on Fridays unless the Mets are having a good game, and of course not. Well, since hockey and basketball playoffs, but in the summer. SmackDown gets my attention when there's nothing, when the Mets aren't really playing well. Right now they're not playing well, so I'll switch back and forth. So, with that all being said, so speaking of TV, we'll get into AEW, and I mentioned on the video on Friday that the heel turn on last week's Rampage was fantastic. Fantastic. Don Callis turning on the Elite, fantastic. Cage match was pretty good. They don't care about blood, apparently. This extends the storyline. Because I think one of the Jacksons were hurt. They're cleared now. So they're bringing all the Elite back for the pay-per-view, which is coming up double or nothing at the end of the month for the Memorial Day weekend. Which I hate fucking... I hate these... that they do pay-per-views on Sundays. And they're 5 hours long. I know I complain about it every 4 months, but... like, I get it. Like, I know what you're trying to do, but between the pre-show and they run a 4 hour pay-per-view, not counting the pre-show, the buy-in. 4 hours. That's a long time to be sitting there for wrestling. Okay, shorten the matches. I know you want to put all your people in there. I know they all want to get their shit off their spots. I get it, but you can listen to the Mark Order podcast every Wednesday night on Shining Wizards. Cheap plug. I don't have a bell anymore, but ding, ding. But they'll, I'm sure Kate and Matt and Ant and all, and they'll cover all that. But, like, you know, for me anyway, I'm getting to that age where early to bed, early to rise. I'm getting old. I can't be up all night watching wrestling and then I have to go to work the next day. My day starts at 5 a.m. So maybe the next day is a holiday, so that softens the blow. And I might not be working the holiday, but if I am working the holiday, I got to be at work but between 7 and 9 in the morning. So my day starts at 5 a.m., right? So I can't be up till – I usually entertain. Now I got friends over. They're here till midnight. Now I got to clean up the mess. I still have to go to bed, lay out my uniform, pack my bag for the next day, take a shower, the whole nine yards, right? By the time I do all this, it's fucking 1:30 in the morning. So now I have to get up at 10 to 5, so it's like I'm done, like, you know? So I can't – these pay-per-views, man, on a work night or in my son's case, a school night, because I can't even have him over because he has school the next day. This one I can because he has the holiday, but – usually he can't come over because it's a school day. His day starts almost as early as mine. He's got a long – he goes from like – I know he goes from like 8 in the morning to like I think 2 something in the afternoon. And his day starts at 6 or 6:30, you know? So, I mean, it's really hard for – why can't you have a 3-hour pay-per-view? 4 if you count – put the show – put the – listen, you're getting the buys, right? You're not. They're not losing money by no means. So, put 3 or 4 matches on the buy-in. You already have the audience. You have them. So if you have 14 matches, put fucking 4 of them on the buy-in. Why can't you do that? You have 12 matches. Put 3 of them on the pre-show, or 4 of them on the pre-show, whatever. I mean, do something. You know, these 4-hour pay-per-views. I'm old. I can't be doing this shit. I know all you young kids are laughing at me, but yo, like, I can't, man. I gotta plan my shit accordingly. Like, I have to like take a nap before my friends come, before my son gets here. Like, it's that kind of party and shit, you know. So, AEW's been really good. 50-50 booking is what they do. They still need to keep people off. They need to keep Ring of Honor separate. Stop defending the title on TV. Okay. You have a TV show now weekly that they're doing it out of Orlando. They have the streaming service, which I love. I missed a couple episodes, by the way, but I love the Thursday episodes. Like, I don't work on Friday, so I come home. When I'm not watching the playoffs, again, like I said, in the summertime, this is all going to kick back into normalcy, but I can come home at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, I could watch the because they drop every Thursday, I could drop the serve, I could, you know, put it on and watch 2 hours of no commercial Ring of Honor, and I'm glad Rick Abani is back, Caprice Coleman, they're doing the play-by-play, and, you know, that's fun. Claudio's still champ. Eddie Kingston will be back in like 4 to 6 weeks. He had hernia operation, so that hopefully they'll still have him chase the title. You know, and it's been fun watching AEW and Ring of Honor, of course. I just heard Jay Briscoe on Jericho's podcast, and I'm happy for him too, doing his thing. There's been a rumor, it's almost confirmed at this point, that like a $5 billion Warner Brothers media agreement has been agreed upon with Tony Khan and All Elite Wrestling. Apparently, they're going to do a third show for Saturday nights, and all AEW programming will be exclusive to Warner Brothers or like the Max. They're changing HBO Max to the Max on the 23rd of May. So Warner Brothers will have full exclusive rights to the programming of All Elite Wrestling, the weekly shows and, you know, the specials and all that, excluding Ring of Honor. But you have Honor Club, and they still have pay-per-view, so that's cool. Let them keep it separate. I want them to keep it separate, you know? And that's going to set up, allegedly, CM Punk coming back to during a Chicago area AEW event in a couple of weeks, And his first opponent is going to be Samoa Joe. So if they're going to bring Punk back, send him to Ring of Honor. Why can't CM Punk go to Ring of Honor and just run roughshod and run out his career in Ring of Honor where he started, where he got his he cut his teeth. Put some of the young guys over, win the championship, you know, put guys over. I don't see the point of having him in All Elite with the way they're pushing the young guys with MJF and the way now that Moxley is a heel and Omega and the Bucks are faces and your title contenders are like Jungle Boy and Darby Allin and Sammy Guevara and all these young kids. Like, it does not because I dislike Punk's last run, but I don't see the fit, you know, unless you write it properly. Show me different. Okay. Show me different. Like Missouri, they have the show me state. They have the show me state. Yeah. They have the show me. Show me. Let's see. So that's apparently it's going to be announced this Wednesday, the merger, not the Punk thing. But it's going to coincide with Punk coming back. Allegedly, this is what the dirt sheet's saying. Not just one dirt sheet. Every single dirt sheet's reporting the same thing. That the merger's happening and Punk's coming back. It's like they're just copying and pasting the same story to every dirt sheet. So this is not like breaking news, you know. I'm not that dude. I'm not breaking any news. I'm just reporting what I read on the nonsense. So, whatever. Whatever's clever, all right? So, that's going to do it for the current shit. Nothing else is going on that interests me. And that's pretty much it. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to plug our friends on this Mother's Day edition of Turnbuckle Throwbacks, episode 479. And I think that's it. I'll be right back to... keep it tight. Lord Alfred Hayes, take us to the break.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag Join the Mark Order. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Broadcast Podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcasts, Castbox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
You like your music heavy? Then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Well, the action is underway!
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
The Shining Wizards is the greatest wrestling podcast of all time. Don't believe me? Tune in and check us out. We laugh, we cry, we interview some of the greatest people in professional wrestling, and we have some of the greatest segments of all time, including everyone's favorite wrestling game show, Can You Beat That? We're live 6:50 p.m. East on Monday night on all social media platforms, and we're with you wherever you go on every single streaming and podcasting platform as well. Check us out. Go over to ShiningWizards.com and join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Hey, it's Tony Schiavone of AEW, and you are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil J and that pain in the ass, Choppy.
Special videotape from Sting. No one on the air. A special videotape from Sting. No one has seen this as of yet. We're all going to see it together here in a few moments.
A mayonnaise jar on Funkin' Wagnall Sports since noon today. I'll tell you, it doesn't take a genius. It doesn't take Albert Einstein to know what Sting's going to say. He's going to say, I quit. I give up. I don't want the horseman to cripple me any further. I don't want to get my not only my career ended, but maybe my neck broke, and I'm going to stay away from professional wrestling for the rest of my life. That's what he's going to say. Go ahead, roll it, and see if I'm right.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's roll the videotape. This came from Sting, and will he retire? We're going to find out. We're all waiting. We're going to see it, as I said, for the same.
I'll bet you some money.
Oh, you will.
Have you been in my wallet? What?
Fans, he.
I don't have.
There's no wager here. Let's see the. Let's see the videotape with Sting.
Horseman, you said you were gonna take me out. You said I'd never wrestle again.
But you made a big mistake when you started messing with the little stingers.
So now the time has come.
And Flair, if you think you're invincible.
Get over, Creed.
So he's going to retire, huh? So he's not going to be around anymore. He's going to be a Capital Combat, and he's going to have RoboCop at his side.
What in the world? Where does he get off thinking he can bring some kind of freak into professional wrestling? Is he a man? Is he a machine? Is he a mob? What is he? Was he half and half?
He's RoboCop.
I don't know. I don't watch the movies. I don't go to movies. I can't go out in public. But I'll tell you this. Sting has no business, has no place bringing some creep, some creature, some monster like that anywhere around professional wrestling. That is malarkey what that is.
Well, it's true, though, and he will be there, so the Horsemen's threat or not.
No, hey, no. The Horsemen, they're not going to be scared of some big pile of scrap metal standing 10 feet tall or however big the guy is. They're not going to be afraid. The Horsemen will still triumph because they're the elite in professional wrestling, and they're not going to be scared of some kind of freak. If it's a computer R2-D2, I don't know what the guy is, but the Horseman will find out before Capital Combat.
So we find out now, ladies and gentlemen, that Sting will not retire. He will have RoboCop at his side at our next big pay-per-view spectacular. It's called Capital Combat, May 19th, Saturday night, May 19th, in the D.C. Armory in Washington, D.C. See, before we went on the air.
All right, that's creepy. Who stopped that? That was the theme for the pay-per-view. All right, we're back. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, episode 479, if I'm not mistaken. If I'm mistaken, then whatever. I don't know, man. But we're going to revisit this. We did this a long time ago, and we're going to do it again. So hit the music.
And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
Okay, we're kicking this back to May 19th, 1990, from the DC Armory. Shout out to Ratings McGee, it's his area. In the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., as far as I'm going to say, that's our nation's capital. $7,500 paid, 1.4 buy rate, which I think is $1.4 million if I'm doing Choppy's math, and Choppy's way better at math than I am. So, with that being said, it's the NWA's Capital Combat, The Return of RoboCop. Now, before we even get into this card, let me, we did this card a long time ago. The one of our best fans, our good friends of the show, Matty Legend from the western part of Canada up there in British Columbia. Matt designed our Turnbuckle Throwbacks 8-bit logo, 8-bit Nintendo logo, which you can buy on ProWrestlingTees.com/Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We have 5 different designs there. So, yeah, he designed that for us like 10 years ago. And Matt's thing was RoboCop, and we used to play the Dead or Alive, You're Coming With Me. That was the bit we used to have and all that. And we covered the show, and, you know, the other day I'm watching YouTube, I'm in this rabbit hole, and one of the wrestling sites on Facebook posted the return of Sid Vicious, him coming into the Four Horsemen. This was his big debut for the Horsemen, and I played that promo in the beginning of the show. But I watched the pay-per-view again, and I'm like, you know what? Again, and you've heard Cornette talk about it in length. Jim Ross talked about it. WWE did a segment on it, how terrible this was, bringing RoboCop into the fold. But here's what's going on. It's 1990. The 90s are upon us. The entertainment world has taken a huge turn in terms of how they promote stuff. And Turner Entertainment, being Turner, was the... They were involved in the making of this movie, and it's the second it's a sequel to RoboCop, and it was the first one. The first RoboCop was a huge success. The second one not so much, but they needed something to they wanted to promote the movie with wrestling, and this is how they did it, and it was not very well received. Everybody hated it. Promoters hated it. The wrestlers hated it. They thought it was stupid. I'm going to say RoboCop probably even hated it. I never asked Peter. I don't even think, was Peter Weller even in the second RoboCop? Let me just see something here. Let me see Capital Combat 1990. Might just look it up while we're here, right? Because you guys ain't going away with me. Let's see. Let's see here. It was voted one of the most ridiculous things I know. And so... Let me see here. Nope, not that. Let me just give me 1 second. I want to see if there was there's like quotes. I don't want to pull like Jim Cornette has like a 15-minute he rattles on about on his podcast. I don't want to put it like that. Let me see something. Hold on, IMDb. No, not that. Not that. No, let me see. You know what? Let me just pull this up for a second. RoboCop 2. Oh, he was in it. Peter Weller was in it. Yeah. Let me see how it did. Let me see how it did in the movies. I saw it in a movie theater. I know that. And it even became a video game, too. It grossed $45 million, and it cost $25 to $30 million to make. Yeah, let me see. It wasn't Frank Miller who did, you know, who wrote that Dark Knight thing I was telling you about before, because he wrote the original RoboCop. Let's see. They filmed it in Houston, Texas. No big deal. Here it is. To promote the film, RoboCop made an appearance on WCW's pay-per-view Capital Combat, where he rescued Sting from the Four Horsemen. The film was released on VHS December 13th and later to DVD in 1998. Reception. Yeah. It grossed $45.7 million at the U.S. box office and then additional $22 million from video rentals. Yeah. Yeah, it just didn't do well as it was supposed to. So, anyway, Tony Schiavone, Bob Cottle on the stick, 7,500 paid. Let's get right into it. The show opens with a short animated video, like I just played before. Sting is injured, and they show like a press clipping, top secret, and a random photo of Rick Steiner. I have no idea. So Tony Schiavone puts in his first appearance since Starrcade of 88, I believe, because he comes back from being somewhere else, right? There are three matches before sending it to the Star-Spangled Banner, performed by their local armed forces of D.C. Tony introduces the play-by-play crew, of course, Jim Ross and Bob Cottle, who also decide to tell us about the title matches that we're about to see. The first match, opening match, was Kevin Sullivan, Scott Charles, Bam Bam Bigelow, Cactus Jack, with Sir Oliver Humperdinck versus Norman the Lunatic and the Road Warriors. The Road Warriors came down on some on the backs of other dudes, Harley, so Norman could follow suit by riding a scooter to the ring. Honestly, this was very hard to look at sometimes because Norman, when Norman was a face wrestler, he was like this big guy giving out teddy bears and shit, and it was just creepy. But it was a decent match, six-man tag, 10 minutes or more, I think it was. It was, hold on a second, I'll tell you right now. It was 9 minutes and 38 seconds, and it was Hawk hitting Kevin Sullivan with a top rope clothesline. So the losers of the match to even get to the ring left the ring when Johnny Ace's music hit for his match against Mean Mark Callis. You know him better as Mark Calloway, a.k.a. Mr. Undertaker, who now is 6 months before, this is 6 months before his debut on as the Undertaker. If this was May of 90, this May, June, July, August, so seven months before this is like his last run. Jim Ross trying to sell us on how Mean Mark noted that his favorite singer was Ozzy Osbourne, and he quotes, "He bites the heads off bats, you know," Jim Ross said proudly. We know. But there's no biting in this one. The match probably went out 5 minutes longer than, you know, necessary. Mean Mark does win at 10 minutes and 41 seconds with the heart punch. And an elbow from the middle rope, which I don't, but I mean, it wasn't, whatever. It was a squash match. Johnny Ace coming out to the Dynamic Dudes music, but he had all his old Japan gear on. So you go figure that shit out, right? We go to the back where Jim Ross and Bob Cottle show us Mark's impressive elbow on a replay, and it scored an 8.2 on a slam-o-meter, which is really cheesy as it sounds, but again, this was 1990, and looks like it came out of a Nickelodeon game show, but tis what it is. But we're going to go right to the back now. Where he gets, let's get this going on. And we'll go to right to the back of the Dean of Professional Wrestling, Gordon Solie.
Near Sting's locker room.
You can see we're approaching the locker room of Sting now and his newfound ally, RoboCop. Now, may I just point out that as you can see, security guards are flanking the door. There are no admittance signs on the door itself, so obviously nobody can get in to the locker room at this time. Now, Sting, of course, has had an ongoing feud with the Four Horsemen ever since they jumped him out on the Texas Clash in Corpus Christi on February 6th. At that time, his patella tendon was severed. He's had reconstructive surgery, and he's well on the road to recovery. However, he is not yet capable of competing. Sting's main concern And his main reason for being here tonight with RoboCop is to ensure the protection of the thousands of little stingers who have been so supportive of him during his recuperative period. I might also point out that the four horsemen have made implied threats about the little stingers. Now, Sting, myself, as far as I'm concerned, is probably one of the finest athletes and certainly should be the world heavyweight champion at this time. But because of the injury perpetrated on him by the four horsemen, he's been denied that opportunity. But his heart's bigger than that. He's concerned about the little stingers. Jim, I'll tell you what, there's nothing happening here right now. However, I'm going to stand by and try and catch them as they come out. Right now, back to you.
Thanks.
You couldn't put Shivani in that spot. You had to put the Dean of Wrestling Golden Soli there. That pissed me off. You know, that pissed me off. Hold on a second here. Let me just adjust the volume so I don't play Jim Ross cackling. But what are you going to do? Let's see. Okay. I'm queuing this up as we go along. So your next match, let's see here. We'll go right to it. Okay, your next match is it's the SST versus Mike Rotunda and Tommy Rich. Somebody say something about Turnbuckle Throwback. No, I'm sorry. But anyway, hold on. We're taking out Tony Giovanni, who's with the Rock and Roll Express, and they got something to say before this match.
First of all, I'd like to say, me and brother, we're all fired up. We'd like to say hello to all the nice fans out there that stood behind the Rock and Roll Express through thick and thin. Let me tell you something, Freebirds. Tonight, this strap here is going to be in our corner. There's going to be a strap in Freebirds' corner. And Tony Giovanni, brother and I, we forgot the whooping that they gave us. The Freebirds tonight is payback time. We're going to whoop your behinds like your mama should have done a long, long time ago.
Hey, Ricky, your partner here is prepared.
That's right, Tony, but you know, I like to talk about one thing first. You see, we have been down many, many highways, but every road we took led us right back here to NWA. Now, we know that our good friends, the Steiner's Brothers, have a world tag team title match tonight with Doom. But like we told the people, we're here for one reason. Let us become the NWA World Tag Team Champions for the fifth time, brother. And that's what it's all about. That's what it boils down to. But then again, I want to change the subject a little bit and talk about the Four Horsemen. You see that Ole Anderson has come out here, brother, and regrouped the Four Horsemen, telling the whole world what he's going to do. But you see, I will say one thing about you, Ole Anderson. You're the kind of guy that even sacrificed your own brother to win the World Tag Team titles. Well, you see, things are going to change. This is why I'm talking about this, Tony, because it's stuck in my mind all day. You see, I was talking to Lex Luger earlier. And Lex Luger, if everybody don't know, the fans don't know, that he was just released from the hospital today. He's not supposed to be here. But he guaranteed me and all these nice friends that, brother, he's not going to let him down. It don't matter what the Four Horsemen do, brother. He's going to take care of the business.
All right, let's go to the ring.
All right, they're fired up. They got a strap match against the Fabulous Freebirds, or a Capital Combat match, whatever the fuck they want to call it, right? So your next match, the Samoan SWAT team. Fatu and Tama, you know Fatu better as Rikishi. And Tama was the Samoan Savage. At this point, Mike Rotunda has gone full sail. He's got the gimmick with the... And this odd pairing with Tommy Rich. This is just a throwaway match. And if you watch any early NWA, early WCW, you know that Jim Ross mentions every single time that Rotunda wrestled for fucking... He lettered in two different sports for Syracuse, right? And he mentions every single time that Tommy Rich was the youngest heavyweight champion of the world and Rookie of the Year. So that really was the highlight of the match because the match is pretty boring at this point. The SST did win with the splash, you know, they went to do a, it's like a, you know, they had to get the jump from the top rope, headbutt to the top, from the top rope, back of the head, knocks out the opponent, then he covers him for the win. The entire match was just Rich, the face team's getting beat down by the Samoans and getting these tags without the ref seeing it, so. The match went way too long. It was 17 minutes and 54 seconds. This match could have been done in not even 10 minutes, but he fucking stretched it for 20, which is weird. Same thing with the Mean Mark Johnny Ace match. It was 10 minutes and 41 seconds. All right. So before your next match, we get to hear a promo from the current World Tag Team Champions. And we'll take you to Tony Schiavone and the Steiner Brothers.
You want a match with us? Well, you're not going to get one. Because we came to Washington, D.C. to suplex you on your head. He came here to give you a clothesline. And when it's all said and done, and the smoke's clear, you're going to be like everybody else. Beat up.
You could tell Scotty worked really hard in his promos early in his career. I mean, later on in his career, because his early stuff sucked. Sorry, carry on.
All right, from Scott and Rick Steiner, ready to go against Doom tonight right here at Capital Combat 90, the return of RoboCop. Let's go back to more action.
All right, your next match is a hair versus hair manager match. Precious Paul Ellering taking on... first, before the match, we get to... They introduce the winners of the Capital Combat Sweepstakes Contest. They tried to do this, but they got drowned out in the music. They never saw it, but we see two winners. There was an older couple, clearly a bit bemused by being pointed out, and did their best to wave to the audience, like, okay, don't point the camera at me. But it was cute, nonetheless. So congrats to them. And a hair versus hair match, Precious Paul versus Teddy Long. Sugar Ray Long. Missy Hyatt was the guest ring announcer for this one. I feel almost negative saying anything about Missy Hyatt, but she was hot back then. Now she looks like a melted candle. So anyway, Teddy Long came down wearing boxing gloves, which were loaded, by the way. And after getting attacked from behind, Precious Paul makes the comeback, strips Teddy Long of his gloves, and whacked him around the noggin with one of the with the Lord One to win the match. They had some mustached gentleman in a sequin jacket named Jay Tapper, some haircutting dude that comes out and shaves Teddy Long's head. JR says that Tapper was a stylist to the stars and implied that he was famous. We Google searched him, nothing comes up. So he probably just was a hairstylist or a local guy or whatever it was. With Teddy Long being knocked out cold, Tapper did, or Taper, Tapper, whatever the hell you want to call him, shaved like three little tufts of hair from the back of Teddy Long's head, and he still had hair left. So it wasn't much of a loser leaves his hair. It was a loser gets half his heart head trimmed, half his peanut head trimmed. So it was kind of weird. So I don't know. But then, of course, after this match, we hear from the Horseman.
As Theodore Long makes his way out, we are now joined here by members of the Horsemen. Ole Anderson, Arn Anderson, the gigantic Sid Vicious. I know you have something on your mind. Jim Ross has talked about the situation with Lex Luger.
Well, I'll tell you what, everybody's been talking about how great Lex Luger is and what a courageous man. As far as we're concerned, only an idiot would do what Lex Luger is doing. Talk about a hospital, Luger. Well, you make it out here, and I guarantee you, your last breath is going to be taken right out there in that squared circle. All you got to do is realize this. The Horsemen, I mean the Horsemen, have never, ever allowed a title to leave the hands of the world heavyweight champion, Ric Flair! And we're not going to let it happen tonight! Step in here, champ!
The bottom line is, Luger, if you got a problem going in with that leg, you're going to be a one-legged athlete the rest of your life. You understand what I'm telling you? When you walk that aisle, you pay the price for thinking that one day in your life, you are half the man that I am every day as your World Heavyweight Wrestling Champion, right, double A.
Woo. Luger, truer words have never been spoken. We are all individuals thinking individually, working collectively towards the same goal. My friend, we are all synchronized gears working together to keep what belongs to the Horsemen. And as God is our witness,
this is it.
We'll die before we'll let him lose that remembrance.
All right.
All right. There it is from the Horsemen. Watchmen. Right now, let's go back to Jim Ross and Bob Cotton.
They're fired up, huh? They are fired up. I forgot to mention the hair versus hair match went not even 2 minutes. So, your next match is for the United States Tag Team Championship. Jimmy Cornette locked inside of a cage. The Midnight Express, the challengers, Beautiful Bobby, Sweet Stan Lean, taking on the team of Flying Brian and the Z-Man, Mr. Minnesota, Tom Zink, for the U.S. Tag Team Championship. This match was probably the match of the night, honestly. I thought, anyway. Anytime you get the Midnight Express on a card. And I'm not a big Z-Man guy. We all know that. If you listen to Turnbuckle Throwbacks in recent episodes, or not even recent, and the tenure of this podcast, I was never a big, giant fan of Tom Zink. However, as a tag team wrestler, he was okay. He was doable. So this match went 20 minutes long. It was pretty, actually really, 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 really good. Let me get my notes here. Hold on a second. It was tremendous, actually. Like I said, Jimmy Cornette locked in a cage. And this was like an old school match, a bunch of arm drags, drop kicks. We saw a 450 plunger. Well, no, we didn't see it. I'm sorry, I'm comparing it. It was where arm drags and drop kicks were in the audience were compared to a 450 plunger, which I wrote, is today's audience, and it was very much enjoyable. Very much adrenaline charge, lots of entertaining action. Sweet Stan kicked Z-Man in the back of the head at one point. Beautiful Bobby rolled him up for the win, and new champions were crowned. But it, like I said, 20 minutes, they did it, and it was without the help of Jimmy Cornette. New U.S. Tag Team Champions, 20 minutes and 20 seconds. But the cameras lingered ominously on empty cage before Jim Ross plugs the Great American Bash. Okay? Because it's July. It's in, that Sting is healing from his knee injury that he got from Clash of Champions, and he's going to fight Flair at the pay-per-view. He's challenging for the title in July, but he doesn't know who he's fighting yet. So let's go to the ring. Let's go now to the end of this match, and this is the best match ever, man. It was really good. So, like I said, new U.S. Tag Team Champions. They're plugging the pay per view, and now we go back to the locker with Gordon.
We're going to Gordon Solie. We should be about ready for the appearance of Sting.
Forgive me. We're interrupting, but it looks like something's going on down here. The doors have opened, security men are coming out, and it looks like, yes, it is indeed Sting and RoboCop are making their way out to the arena. RoboCop glistening as he comes out through the light, and if you, well, I'll tell you one thing, four horsemen, watch out, Stinger.
Watch it.
And by.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we apologize for that. Someone apparently has grabbed the camera. Let's go back to Gary Capetta.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is indeed a pleasure to introduce the man that so many little stringers have been pulling for. He is explosive. He is charismatic. He is Sting.
Everyone standing in this capacity crowd, standing on their feet. Let's go back to Gary Capetta.
Ladies and gentlemen, the nation's number one law enforcer. He serves the public trust, protects the innocent, upholds the law, the ultimate peace officer, RoboCop.
Great ovation for RoboCop as he makes his way to the ring. He'll be coming into our camera view here. Now, the horsemen are already up. They just threw Sting in the cage. They just threw Sting in the cage that Cornette was in. Sting has been caged by the horsemen, but here comes RoboCop, Bob.
Sid Vicious, Ole Anderson, Arn Anderson, they all attacked him, threw him into the cage. But look at RoboCop now as he's approaching.
He is not.
They're backing away from him.
He's not intimidated, Bob. RoboCop going right to the cage. This deal.
You're going to be a bucket of balls when we get done with you.
Oh, gosh almighty. He's pulling that door right off the hinges. Woohoo. What strength by RoboCop. Whoa. And man, you want a piece of him, horseman.
Look at Ole and Arn and Big Sid back up. And the expression on their faces, what the heck have we got here?
They say there'll be another day when Ole Anderson saw RoboCop pull that steel door right off the cage. They said, we better wait for another day. Sting and RoboCop have asserted themselves here. Sting looks phenomenal. He looks to be 100%, Bob. He and his buddy RoboCop. I tell you, the Horsemen wanted no part of either of those, especially the Stinger and RoboCop. Let's go back up now to Gary Capetta.
All right. So this is what started the whole, you know, the internet exploded when WWE first started putting out these, WWE Network started putting out these worst moments in history, whatever. I played the promo in the beginning. I'm 6'9", I'm 300 pounds, I'm not afraid of RoboCop, and da-da-da-da-da. RoboCop comes out, as you just heard, he saves Sting, right, clearly, with the fake cage. All right, bends the bars and saves Sting from him being locked in the cage, right? In that small cage that Cornette was just placed in, right? The individual one. But the Horsemen didn't go after RoboCop. They were afraid. They just said on the promo in the beginning of the show that I played that they weren't afraid. Now they're afraid. Pisses me off. Like, I understand that they can't, like, attack it and whatever, whatever. So, anyway. All right, we got to go back to Gary Michael Capetta because he has an announcement, and then we'll go to the next match. So, let's do this, really. So, here we go. 1 second.
Pay-per-view spectacular of World Championship Wrestling is set for Saturday night, July 7th, when we anxiously anticipate the return of Sting to the Baltimore Arena. Remember, that's Saturday night, July 7th. And now, ladies and gentlemen, up to Tony Schiavone.
Okay, Gary Capetta and the whole world, the NWA World Championship Wrestling, very excited as we bring this man in right here, returning to the NWA World Championship Wrestling. Let's hear it for the Junkyard Dog.
You know, it's been a long time coming, and everybody got something they got to look forward to. I done been all over this world, Puerto Rico, Japan, and everybody have a downfall. But I went to the mountain one time too many. But now I'm back here in World Championship Wrestling. I'm looking for you, the Four Horsemen. Me, Mark, and anybody else that's stiff in the dog yard. Playtime is over, baby. I'm here to stay. So you just bring them on down. Like I said time and time again, every dog needs a bone to chew on, and I found myself a bone.
Certainly found himself a bone and a word, not only to guys like me, Mark, but... What's going on here?
Hold on here a second, Tony Schiavone. This is supposed to be the time that the winner of that tag team match has to talk about the new champions of Midnight Express. This ain't supposed to be your time. So I tell you what, now that we've heard all that you've got to say, Junkyard Dog, why don't you go on back in the back and let me say that the Midnight Express did what they said couldn't be done. Said the Midnight Express couldn't win the bigger anymore. Said I'd lost it, but we're the U.S. Tag Team Champions. Where have you been the past several years, huh? Where have you been since you left the NWA? We've been out there winning matches. The Midnight Express has been winning titles. Where have you been, huh?
Where have I been? I've been at 845 DeBerry Street in Louisville, Kentucky. You know where that is?
That's my mother's house.
That's what I'm saying. I'm your daddy.
Wait a minute. You may be able to talk to me like that, but you sure can't talk to that guy like that.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Master James E. May get waylaid here.
You know, that's why I stopped school. Because I don't like recess, and I'm not here to play. I'm here to stay. So you tell the NAA the dog is back. Okay, Jack?
Okay. The dog is back. Enough said. Let's go to more action.
That's right, baby. The Junkyard Dog, out of shape and ready to play. And he's messing with Jim Cornette's mama. Oh, man. Your next match is a tag team attraction, the Capital Punishment slash strap match between the Rock and Roll Express and the Midnight. The Rock and Roll Express and the Fabulous Freebirds. I mean, it's Midnight Express. I got them on the brain because of Cornette. They come out to a platform with a moving platform with an old Wurlitzer jukebox on it that barely can stay in a straight way. So they had to jump off the platform before they run into a crowd or something, which was really odd. But, you know, it is what it is. So this is like, it's now like we're a third of the way through now, right? And, you know, it's just, you know, even Jim Ross called the jukebox antique, you know. Jimmy Garvin, Michael P.S. Hayes was supposed to be in heels, but came out to the ring and shot fireworks from their wrists, and which seemed to be a baby-face thing to do. And Gary Michael Capetta and the announcers all seemed to think this was a strap match, but really was just the time to whip. It was really a strap match when the straps are attached to the wrestlers and whatever it is, but either way, this would have been fine if the whips had been prominent in the match, but they only got a couple of licks in for about 30 seconds at a clip. The match itself was okay because both teams can go, and it was weird to have such a hyped stipulation attached to it, and they barely used it. But the Express did win. I'll give you the time right now. 18 minutes and 33 seconds. I'm sorry, with the corporal punishment. I keep saying capital punishment. It's a corporal punishment match. I'm doing this. I have notes, but yet I'm doing it by memory because I'm a jerk off. What do you want me to tell you? But the match was good. It's just weird that they didn't use the straps more prominently, like I said. You know? So, all right, let's go to Tony Schiavone with his 90s haircut. Okay, he's got a couple people he wants to talk to.
DDT Gibson for the second time, but to no avail. The Rock and Roll Express beat the Freebirds, and now let's go to Tony Schiavone with the World's Strongest Man.
Yeah, I'm sorry to say. I meant to say, yeah, he beat him with a roll-up. Went for Michael Hayes went for a second DDT, and Ricky Morton rolled him up for the pin. So caught him. He was too busy gallivanting to the crowd, so he got caught out there. Sorry, but I forgot to mention that at the 18-minute mark. So, all right, let's go to Tony Schiavone. He's got the World's Strongest Man making his debut in the NWA. Rest in peace, Doug Furness.
All right, Jim Ross, Bob Cottle, thank you very much. We are very pleased here at World Championship Wrestling to bring in a man that you'll be seeing a lot of in the weeks to come, the World's Strongest Man, Doug Furness. And, Doug, good to have you here, and I know you've been in the back talking with Lex Luger about the situation.
Well, that's right. Thank you, Tony. Yeah, I just saw him back in the dressing room a while ago. You know, for a guy that's been in the hospital for 2 weeks, he looks pretty good. I think he's going to be ready to go.
Really a courageous man, wouldn't you say?
It's incredible. You know, the guy was in the hospital for 2 weeks, taking on the world's best, probably professional wrestling, greatest ever heavyweight champ, that's Ric Flair. And I wouldn't be real surprised if we had a new world champion tonight.
Okay, Doug, thank you very much. And we'll be seeing a lot of Doug Furness in the weeks to come here. World Championship Wrestling, the World's Strongest Man. Now, just a few moments ago, we all witnessed the Stinger. And let's bring him back out once again. Sting, we've seen the attacks from the Horsemen. I know you've been in the back with Lex Luger. This is his big moment.
Yeah, you know, Tony, the bottom line is we've all heard all the warnings from the doctors, top NWA officials, other wrestlers all warning Lex not to step into the ring with Ric Flair. And I know from experience with the Horsemen just how much it means to Lex to get back into the ring with the Horsemen and get that title from Ric Flair, the Nature Boy. The bottom line is, like I said, it's Lex's body, it's Lex's decision, and I would do the same thing if I were Lex Luger and get in the ring and take the title once and for all from the Nature Boy, so you're gonna see him do it, period.
All right, from Sting, and the stage is set, but right now, let's go back to the ring.
All right, we heard from Doug Furness. We heard from Sting. They're all rooting for the total package, Lex Luger. I think in storyline he had an injury, but I think in real life he had some kind of staph infection he got. He had to go to the hospital for. So they used that as a storyline. Your next match is for the NWA World Heavyweight Tag Team Championships. Bustin' Heads, Doom, Hacksaw Butch Reed, Ron Simmons, the All-American, teaming managed by, of course, Peanut Head, Theodore R. Long, a.k.a. Sugar Ray Long, going up against Rick and Scott, the Steiner Brothers. This was a really, really good match. I enjoyed this match. This whole night was filled with tag matches. But it was a solid effort. The double teaming was great. This was just a good, good, good match. I want to fast forward to the end of this match so I can, because I thought it was really, it was pretty good. Hold on a second. Let me see here. Pretty long, actually. Let me see here one second. Here we go.
Simmons outside with a vicious tackle all the way to the concrete. Rick Steiner back in the ring with Reed, those big right hands.
Two fight outside and two inside.
Oh, Scott Steiner's shoulder ran right into the steel ring post. Simmons back in, double axe handle blow. Longness, wait a minute. They double team Rick Steiner from the second row. Can they hold him down?
He did.
No. Longness inverted the referee. Doom has won the world titles.
Ladies and gentlemen, the winners and new World Tag Team Champions, Ron Simmons, Butch Reed, the Team of Doom.
All right, fans, and what a wild finish it was. And there you're looking at the new World Tag Team Champions, Theodore R. Long and his Team of Doom, as they double-teamed the Steiners. What a wild finish it was. And that match was every bit that we thought it was going to be, just as physical as any match could possibly be. Again, let's go back and watch the slow motion of that. Here you see Rick Steiner double-teamed as Theodore Long got up under the apron of the ring, engaged the referee, pulling Rick Steiner down by the hair, covering him for the press. A count of 1, 2, 3, and you've got new World Tag Team Champions. Now, here's Jim Ross.
Well, thanks very much, Bob Caudle. New World Tag Team Champions have been crowned, and we've already seen the switching of the guard on two occasions. The Midnight Express, the new U.S. Tag Champions, and Tony Schiavone is standing by with the new Tag Team Champions of the world. Let's go to Tony.
All right, Jim Ross, here they are. And Theodore, I guess you got to be happy. We saw what happened, everything up there, and you have new World Tag Team Champions.
Let me say something to you right now, Tony Schiavone. I told you, I told the world, I told the NWA, and my prediction is true. You're looking at your new World Tag Team Champion. So, I lost a little hair, but I gained the world, baby. Show them the belt. Show it.
Well, there they are. The Tag Team Champions of the world.
Told everybody, you thought we were just a couple of fly-by-nighters. Well, we're real professional athletes. And let me tell you something, people. I've told you, and I've told you time again, Doom is world championship material. And one more thing, Doom rules, baby. Doom rules.
Where it belong. From now on, Doom will be the World Tag Team Champion. And with a good, clean fight, we didn't break no rules, just like we promised it would be. And we took it like a man. You understand? We told them punks we were going to take them, and they're home. How sweet it is.
Tony Schiavone, there's going to be a big celebration tonight. You're invited to the party. Somebody better go get Jim Hurd. Tell him to come to the party, because we done it. Jump, baby. Woo!
All right, new World Tag Team Champions, Doom. Let's go back to more action.
Yeah, now, again, two tag team title matches, two title changes, no shenanigans. Perfect. Managers didn't get involved. Perfect. New World Tag Team Champions, new United States Tag Team Champions, Doom and the Fabulous Freebirds. And Doom wins this match at 19 minutes and 14 seconds, like with double team to Rick Steiner. And pretty much that's how it goes. Your final match of the evening, the Steel Cage for the World Heavyweight Championship, five-time champion, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, taking on the Total Package and current United States Heavyweight Champion, one of my least favorite wrestlers, Mr. Lex Luger. But, man, was he over at this point, man. Oh, by the way, Ric Flair escorted to the ring by the late, great, gorgeous woman, a.k.a. Nancy Sullivan, Nancy Benoit. Woman looking all sorts of delicious at this point. Flair looking... everybody involved was ridiculously looking great and delicious. It was a really, really good match. Let's see here. So Flair had the kind of an advantage because he already had the experience of competing in the cage. And when he tagged with Sting, the match was solid, like I said. And Flair and Luger locking up, bunch of BS in the beginning, but all their matches had that. The match itself was good, but you knew stuff was going to get hairy. All right, let's get right into it. We'll go right to the end of this, and it's going to be a little bit long, but it has to. Let me explain to everybody what happens here. So, one second. Let me fast forward this. I was just looking at woman, and I couldn't help myself. give me one second. One second. Here we go. Let's go to the end of this match, and the end of the pay-per-view, actually.
Horsemen are surrounding the ring.
Everybody but Wyndham. I still haven't seen Wyndham.
They're Ole Anderson attempting to climb the cage. Unless they know something we don't, Bob. They're not going to get in this cage.
It looks like Orange trying the same thing. He's not going to get in. Well, we said earlier, Ole was down there examining the cage. He was looking all around.
Luger now, big right hands. They know it's going to be tough. Look at Ole. He senses that his man, Ric Flair, may be experiencing his last moments as world champion. One, two, and
oh, my heavens.
Yeah, it was two and three quarters.
Almost a new champion. The hand had already started down, and it would have all been over at that point.
Ole Anderson looking around. Flair is in deep trouble. Battered and bloody. Luger's got enough to military press him again. Champion is in deep trouble. Here comes Sting. Here comes Sting. Grabbing Ole Anderson.
Grabbing Ole to pull him down.
Sting trying to fight him away from the cage. Sting fighting for his friend, Lex Luger, who's on the verge of becoming the new world's champion. And
he's,
wait just a minute.
Triple team there,
Bob,
now.
Look what's coming down the aisle.
What in the world is
he's
that?
7'7", 450, El Gigante. And Lex Luger is on the verge of becoming the new world's champion.
I've never seen anybody as big as that man, Jim. Huge, and he must be just as strong. And the horseman just took one look and said, I can't take that.
Flair in trouble. Wait a minute. Ole Anderson somehow's got the cage up. Anderson's got the cage. The guy that's got the cage. Ole Anderson has got the switch on the cage.
And that was Wyndham who went sliding and flying under it. Here's Wyndham in the ring.
Wyndham. Luger had Flair beat in the rack. Wyndham in the cage. There'll be a disqualification in this one. But Luger's got to fight for his life. Patch me through. Somebody patch me through to the cage guy. I don't know if he can hear me or not. Get the damn cage down.
Yeah, here comes Arn under it now. Somebody's got to get in there to help him.
And Ole Anderson has commandeered the guy that's controlling the cage. Ole Anderson is over here controlling the guy that's got the cage.
And Luger's being wiped out. There's nobody down there to give him any help or any assistance.
Referee thrown all the way outside. There's been a disqualification. Ole Anderson has commandeered the cage. We knew something was up when he was looking around. Earlier today, Lex Luger's career could be over any moment. Flair working on the leg. A vicious attack. Three of the horsemen.
Somebody.
Three on one.
We got to get some help
there's
down
gotta
there.
There's got to be some help. Get the cage up.
Somebody's got to save this guy.
Patch me through him. Get security. Help. Get the damn cake. They're going to beat him to death. There's a DDT. Oh, my God. I cannot believe Ole Anderson. Sting wants in the... Please, get the cops. Get the police over there and get Ole Anderson away from the switch.
Now it's down and he can't get in. Sting can't get in there. Ole is actually controlling it up and down when he wants it.
The security on their way over to where Ole Anderson is.
There it goes up. Now it's going up.
Get the cage up. Here comes Sting in the ring.
It may be too late now, Jim.
Luger trying to stand. Luger almost out of it. Oh, my God. I cannot believe Ole Anderson's pulled this off. There'll be an investigation on this. I'm sure Woman and Ole Anderson had this planned. Ole Anderson commandeered the area that the guy was controlling the cage was in. Well, Tony Schiavone down there? Tony Schiavone, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Jim Ross. And here we are. He is still the
world. What is it? Look at it! You see them on shot! This is it right here! I'm it! Come here! Come here, Art! We're the horsemen! Look at us! Look at this money! You see this? We're the horsemen! We did it!
Well, I guess you made your point and you still are the champion.
Woo!
We have no idea how the cage went up. We have no idea what in the world happened, but apparently you...
What do you want to know?
How in the world did the cage...
Money! This is the world title! There's only one! And it is mine!
Yeah, it's yours, but still, I'm sure...
Wait a minute, there's Sting! Sting and Flair cooking now! Sting doesn't care. He's gone right into the lion's den. Sting has gone right into the lion's den. He doesn't care.
There's the big one. The big El Gigante again.
Sting wants Flair in the worst way. But how hurt is Luger? El Gigante, the biggest man in wrestling. And Sting, the horseman, want no part of that. Flair will retain the heavyweight championship of the world. So long, everybody, from Washington, D.C.
So, a really good match got ruined by some shenanigans. Let's recap this really quick. So, post-match, he comes out, Elegante making his debut, right? And I made the whole point about being... That's one of the reasons why I mentioned the whole Giant thing, right? That was his debut. Giant Gonzalez, a.k.a. Elegante, was a basketball player from Argentina who couldn't play basketball anymore. And Ted Turner saw him and wanted him to play for the Hawks because he owned the Hawks at the time of Atlanta. And that failed. They brought him in as a wrestler, and that failed as well. So here's my thing, right? Elegante backs him up, and all that's going around. The cage is being lifted. Ole Anderson gets to the guy running the cage. It's the same cage as the Thunderdome cage, right? So Barry Windham gets in the ring, attacks Luger, disqualification. First time I ever saw, as a kid, ever saw a DQ in a cage. Then Arn Anderson gets in the ring and helps Flair and Windham attack Luger until Sting makes the save. As he did, Elegante's outside did nothing, right? Why can't you bring RoboCop back out to break? He ripped the door off the other cage. How about ripping the door off this cage? You can kayfabe that, right? This is bullshit. So eventually Flair and the Horsemen fled. They get stopped by Schiavone. Flair's a bloody mess like you heard. And then Sting comes back out, dripping with blood in his eyes. Flair goes absolutely demented because he continuously screams, "Where the Horsemen? Where the Horsemen?" And it was glorious. He's batshit crazy in the same way. All that, Sting comes over, chases Flair down, and beats him up. And then the Horsemen get involved. Elegante does nothing. He walks towards them. Sid's nowhere to be found, by the way. Sid is nowhere to be found. It was just insane. And that's how the show ends. Lex Luger wins by disqualification at 17 minutes and 22 seconds, and that was my revisiting the Capital Combat of 1990. So, I hate when they have a good match. Any pay-per-view main event has a good match, and the shenanigans that were supposed to enhance the product fail. Absolute epic fucking fail, it is what it is, right? But I watched it, and and this, of course, sets up the 1990 Great American Bash match with Sting and Ric Flair for the title, for the championship. But how about this? It's also Sting. I believe it's Sting's first title win, which we covered on the show already. And it's also the North American debut of Big Van Vader. So that particular pay-per-view holds weight with me. And I believe Hammer has the figure from that match with Sting coming out with the red, white, and blue garb, right? So that's it. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you for everybody. We have some new listeners, so thank you for checking in with us. We appreciate you very much. And for everybody who's been patiently waiting for a new episode, here you go. You have one. I promise to be more diligent, and hopefully I'll be more inspired to work on some new ones. And, of course, if you want to get in touch with us, you can go to turnbuckle-throwbacks.com. Click on all the links there. We have we're part of the Shining Wizards Network, as always. Part of Rant DM Radio, even though we're not very active there right now, but we're still part of that whole family. So support them as well. And, of course, go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Do you want to reach us? It's TurnbuckleThrowbacks1 at gmail.com, TBuckleTbacks at Instagram and Twitter. You want to buy a T-shirt? Please buy a shirt. It helps us a little bit here. ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. We have 5 delicious flavors for you to choose from. And let's play the outgo. Let's get the hell out of here, though. Yeah, so go be a mark. Buy a shirt. My favorite is the 8-bit one, of course. And, of course, the New Japan inspired one as well. We're going to get some new designs up there soon once I get my shit together. And hopefully my graphic design team steps in and gives me a hand here, because I have all the ideas. I just can't draw them up. You know, I'm like a mechanic with no tools, a carpenter with no hammer, no pun intended. I love you guys. Again, have a great Mother's Day to all you moms out there. We're back same time, same channel next time around. This has been episode 479 of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. It's your boy Philly Raya. Take care of yourselves, each other. Avoid the clap. Don't get arrested. Don't be a jerk off. Be kind to animals and children. And God bless. Peace.